hurt anybody to go sit down with a therapist. Even if you do or don't, if there's parts of your life that aren't working, go talk to somebody.
She's bold. She's sassy. She's a woman over 50 living a life she designed on purpose with purpose. And now here's your host of Women Over 50, a Life Redesign podcast, Shelley Dryman.
Welcome to this episode of Women Over 50, A Life Redesigned. My name is Shelley. I am your host for this podcast. And if you are a first-time listener, welcome. And if you've been a long-time listener of mine, thank you, thank you, thank you. I really appreciate your support. Before we get started on this episode, I want to remind you that we have a Facebook group, Women Over 50, A Life Redesigned. I'll drop the link down in the show notes. We have over 1,200 amazing and beautiful women over the age of 50. So I encourage you to join us for support, motivation, and a ton of resources to make this phase of your life the absolute best it can be. My interview with Anne has four parts. And it was truly an amazing interview because Anne is very vulnerable and talks about her journey at a time where she was misdiagnosed with bipolar disorder and almost died of lithium poisoning. This led her on a five-year journey to wellness. And she tells her story in this four-part series. And she also teaches us how to advocate for ourselves with the medical profession. So I encourage you to look down in the show notes where Anne has given us so many resources to use. And if you find that any one of these four episodes is beneficial to someone, please share it. I would really appreciate it. All right, on to my interview with Anne.
One of the things that I've learned through this is there are a lot of people out there who will promise you that if you do this one thing, your life will get better. And I've seen people say whatever modality. I've seen people say EMDR will cure you. I've seen people say breathwork will cure. A woman said it will undo your developmental trauma. And certainly I tried, oh my gosh, I tried all kinds of crazy things in my life. And even in these last few years, you know, not crazy, that's not a bad word. Alternative kind of things, different stuff, anything you could to try to help. That's why I read The Body Keeps the Score. I read other books I didn't like so much. I read, you know, all of the stuff. There are a lot of people with a lot of ideas and an agenda. I truly believe that to heal from trauma, there's not an easy cure. It's not, there's no pill, obviously. There's, you know, not that, you know, maybe an antidepressant or an anxiety could help you through the process. I'm not saying that's a bad idea. If you want to do that, whatever, that is fine. But I lovingly call it the combo platter. Where
I love it. I totally agree because there's just it's physical, emotional, mental.
Yes.
You know, so you just can't like run your trauma away or pop up your trauma away. So
exactly,
yeah.
And that's what Vanderkolk says. That's the point of his book, is that the trauma is not just in your brain; it's in your body. And
your body.
You know, and the ACEs, I think, play, you know, come right into that. The adverse childhood experiences. It makes so much sense. I've had fibromyalgia. I've had Epstein-Barr, sarcoidosis. I've had all of these autoimmune issues.
I'm going to interrupt you for just a second. The people listening, the ACEs, it talks about how people, children who experience these adverse effects as a child, and there's a test you can take online. I'll pop that down in the show notes, that it manifests itself in adults as illnesses. Heart disease, cancer, fibromyalgia.
Yes.
So physically, you're holding on to that.
Yes. And there's like it's like a 10-step thing, like a parent incarcerated mental illness in the family. And I remember the first time I kind of went through one, it was a little depressing. It's like, shit. You know?
Yeah, my ACEs score is a 7. I also want to point out something you mentioned earlier, that it doesn't just happen in one socioeconomic or, you know, racial or whatever system, because you can have, you can come from means like you did and have a parent that's, has a mental illness or is drug addicted or even divorced. So don't just think that it happens to poor kids or African American kids or something like that, because it's just not true.
No, it's not. And that's a very dicey thing, because what I think has to happen is we have to just recognize trauma is trauma. Mm-hmm. And certainly some people are subject to much more hideous, insidious, institutionalized trauma in our culture, especially people who do live in poverty, African-American, other races, Hispanic races, all of that. Of course, those institutionalized traumas, and women too. I mean, there's a lot of institutionalized trauma against women, and especially women of color. I mean, certainly I'm not in any way dismissing those. I'm not saying I somehow had it worse at all. But in some ways, when you come from a family that looks like everything's fine, we looked great. No one, you know, it makes it a little harder when your doctor belongs to the same country club and they have to look at your parents and stuff. Are they going to look real deeply at what's wrong with her? Why is she, you know, I don't think so. I don't think they look very far. So, but I mean, that's a huge, way bigger discussion than this.
That's for another podcast.
Exactly. But that's the thing, and that is so important, that these adverse childhood experiences are the basis of trauma, and they are the basis of so much. And I do want to come back to that. I have another point about that, but of so many issues. I have, and the articles that I'm going to share with you that to go with this are about misdiagnosis, about PTSD being, and the complex PTSD is generally the kind when people have gone through something like an abusive childhood.
Yeah.
And have experienced repeated abuse, in contrast to like the PTSD we think of with like a, I think that's part of the problem, is that people think when they hear trauma, they think, oh, well, somebody who survived a war, somebody who's, you know, gone through this or that. It isn't always like that. Some of them are much quieter, much more below the radar. Mm-hmm. And so don't assume that just because, you know, you didn't have a family member murdered in front of you, you didn't go through trauma, and that these aren't affecting you later in life. And especially, I have a couple articles here that are about borderline personality disorder and women being diagnosed with that instead of trauma. And I'll tell you, having, you know, had an ex-husband who was a therapist and a mother who's a therapist, the way the therapeutic community treats people who they've diagnosed as borderline is pretty terrible. I don't know how many times I heard, it's characterological, they can't change. Then there's a dot, 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 so they're worthless. You know what I mean? So they're a pain in the ass. I heard borderlines are pain in the ass over and over. And you'll hear people in the therapy world, oh yeah, we don't want to give your phone number to borderline, blah, blah, blah. And it's terrible. It's terrible because it's mostly women who get lumped into this. And it's mostly women who have PTSD and are being misdiagnosed as difficult.
Yeah.
And then you're treated differently when you have that. So unfortunately, the DSM, the Bible they use to diagnose people, doesn't have complex PTSD as a diagnosis. So one wonderful thing I will say about my therapist is from the beginning, she's like, I might have to put something on an insurance form, but I'm not into labeling people. So if you can find a therapist like that, that's really good. Someone who isn't going to be really quick to slap a label on you and then say, well, here, do this, this, and this. And I often say, too, when I go back to my combo platter thing, my belief is that you can't avoid the talk therapy part of this. That has to be a part. It has to, if for nothing else, it has to be the part where you realize what the hell happened to you. Why are you like this? To process through that. A lot of people want to skip that because it's painful, takes a long time, slow results. Whereas when somebody says to you, oh, come to my 6-week meditation class and I'll fix you, you know, that sounds pretty good. Or come for a weekend class and I'll fix you. Worse yet, you know. So, and I think a lot of those people haven't dealt with their own trauma and they're looking just as much for something fast, because it's a terrible thing to carry around with you. I'll tell you, a terrible, terrible thing to carry around day to day. It's your brain reacting to something that happened decades before, and you're living like it's happening every day.
Yeah.
And so those reactions you have, those reactions, they're from long, long ago. They no longer serve you. They're messing everything up. And in some ways, they can almost be killing you. I mean, when they start causing physical ailments. So it's really important, I believe, to start with a really good therapist. And I often say to people, because everybody, like, oh, I went to a therapist and blah, blah, blah. I've been to bad therapists too. I'm not going to say that. She's listening. I don't need to have any trouble. I always say to people, you know, if your toilet was broken and you had a plumber come in and they didn't do a good job, would you say, oh, plumbers don't know anything and spend the rest of your life waist deep in shit? It's like, no, the first therapist may not be the right one. And I went to some who had their own agendas, were telling me what we were going to do, not asking me. It's like, this is what we're going to do. And it's like, I never said I wanted to talk about this, you know? So not every therapist is going to be a great fit for you. And I lucked out. My therapist was not a trauma therapist. And certainly I've wondered from time to time, you know, how that would have been different, which is water under the bridge. It is what it is. But my therapist was patient. And she held on, and she was there for me when I was flipping out, and her just stubborn enough to keep with me on this. And in a lot of ways, that's enough, you know. And then start bringing in other things. And I firmly believe, because I'll tell you, with those ACEs, it's a little depressing because it's like, man, I've got some of this stuff you're talking about. I'm dealing with this stuff. And it felt a little hopeless at first. It's like, well, great. I had this crappy childhood, crappy life. And then, so now I'm going to get sick. But I've been reading more and more about ways to bounce back from that and to heal from that and find healing for these things. And I firmly believe, again, it's the combo platter. It's the yoga. It's creativity. Uh-huh. And kind of my mission in life is to help women, whatever their degree of, whether you've been traumatized, whether you're feeling just like, where am I now? Where is this going? What is this about? To have an outlet and a resource to really find themselves again, or to sort through things or whatever. But that, because I have read things that say that things like connection and things, all of these combo platter things I'm talking about are the way to help heal from these autoimmune issues and things like that. I certainly have the double whammy of having certain autoimmune issues and things. And then the myriad drugs I was on, they took their toll. Overall, I think my health is pretty good. And I work out. I eat a very healthy diet. I'm very careful with my body now. I don't abuse it because it's been through enough, I feel like. So much has changed for me now. So much has just come full circle in how I'm able to take care of myself, even how I'm able to. I remember the day I said to myself after, and I'd started the trauma yoga, and I said, you could do 15 minutes of yoga every day. There's no reason you can't get out your mat. And so that's how I started. I said, I'm going to do 15 minutes of yoga. I know I can do that. Now I do 45 minutes to an hour almost every day. I love it. When I don't do it, I feel it right away. Wow. It's helped me so much with aches and pains and stuff, and just feeling really, going to do some Qigong. These things have really helped me. And it's hard because I mean, I want to help women. I want to help women know, like I said, that even if it feels like it's a complete impossibility, you can pass through this. You can come through this and know what it is to be free from that. Know what it is, because it did finally happen for me. And I'd like to be there for women to be able to say, I know right now it doesn't feel like it's ever going to end. And you feel like, but there is hope, you know, and it can get better.
Yeah.
Now, within our current healthcare system, there are a lot of issues. And that is a lot of my story. Between that medical abuse issue, and that was not the only one, issues where doctors were told things and ignored it, issues, that kind of thing. And we're talking, this is 70s, you know what I mean? This is not, you know, late 60s, 70s and stuff. Certainly things have improved with that kind of thing now. I mean, they have duty to inform and that kind of stuff. So
right there, yeah.
You got that going for you, kids, you know. Yeah. Your doctor's legally bound to tell somebody when they hear something like that. Yeah. So certainly, but again, I'm talking to women our age and beyond, or even wherever, we came up in a time where doctors didn't do that. Doctors did let things go. And I will tell you, there were times when I saw doctors and some little part of this would seep out, they'd find out, and they'd just be like, they'd be like, oh, okay, you know, and it was like, I don't want to deal with what you're talking about. That's too intense for me, you know, and perhaps even activating some sort of trauma in their own past or whatever. And there's a lot of lip service given now to trauma, and because people are understanding it, understanding how it affects people, how it's the inherent danger of trauma untreated. So now it's that sort of thing where you're seeing things in doctor's offices and they're asking questions about trauma. But unless they've dealt with their own issues, unless you can have all the marketing and policies and things you want and all the nice things on the wall, if the healthcare profession you're dealing with hasn't dealt with their own stuff, and let me tell you, many doctors will not go to a therapist because their malpractice insurance, they can't get it. And I think that's insane. I think doctors, anybody in those kind of professions, they should be getting all the mental health care they can. Which
well,
again,
just
shows
being that just being a doctor sometimes and seeing what you see.
Yes.
I mean, I was in the emergency room with Steve this past week sometime. And the people coming in, I'm like, holy hell, thank God I'm not a doctor or a nurse.
Yeah. And so, yes, they should be getting more help than anybody. They're traumatized. They're not. And so anybody who's in that sort of state is not going to be able to help other people. So I feel like there needs to be this shift. There needs to be this understanding. And that's part of what I want to do, too, is to help people understand you have to face this stuff or it's going to hunt you down for your whole life. And if you can't face it, you can't help other people. And if you're in a position where you shouldn't be, and I look at that psychiatrist who watched me slowly dying while prescribing the medication that was killing me. To look at him, he wasn't that old, but he was so sallow and so like a shell of a person when I think about him. And it's like, you haven't done your own work, have you? You know what I mean? It's like you, and then just sitting there writing prescriptions. When I asked him for my notes when I was going to the doctor at the inn, all he had were photocopies of his prescription pad copies.
Oh.
That's all the notes he ever took. So there are big problems. There are big problems in trying to deal with this. It's a huge issue. Certainly, I don't have answers, but I do have an experience. I do have this experience of what I went through and the experience of what happens to you when you don't deal with this stuff.
Well, I think your story is very valuable in and of itself, whether you have the answers to solve the problems of the universe
right.
or not, is
right.
that, you know, in listening, because we've spent a lot of time together here, listening to you, I want to say that if I were to hear your story for the first time, the thing that I would take away from it is that if something does not feel right, to you, whether it's in the doctor's office or the meds you're prescribing, you have got to have the courage to speak up.
Yes.
To use your voice to say, hey, I remember Anne's story.
Yes.
She said, and by God, I'm going to, you just have got to advocate for yourself in that way.
And it's really hard if you are a trauma survivor.
Well, it's hard. Not only because you're a trauma survivor, but these are professional people. They know they know what they're doing.
And they will, if you get labeled a troublemaker, that's not a good thing.
No.
And
I've been there, done that.
Yeah. Oh, yep. I said and did some things while I was sick that were not proud of. I mean, there were points where I would just lose it. I was losing it. It was terrible. I mean, I should have been upset, and they should feel terrible about their negligence.
Yeah.
But I don't know, you know, that's again part of a much bigger issue. And you know, shoveling people off to one person after another, one specialist after another, having lack of a cohesive sort of plan for a person. It was like a comedy of errors, really. I mean, it was just one thing after another. What could go wrong? Because here it comes. That doctor is not going to look at what that doctor did. And yeah, so because I'm thinking about it, because it's that 1-2 punch. It's that I knew deep down, I think I always knew it wasn't bipolar. I really did. When you're undiagnosed with trauma or PTSD, your reactions, your coping skills, all of that stuff are so skewed that even if so what I would say is, it doesn't hurt anybody to go sit down with a therapist. Even if you do or don't, if there's parts of your life that aren't working, go talk to somebody. Some people, I think, are afraid that they are going to find out something because they know somewhere on some level. So they avoid. I know, oh my gosh, you watch people distract. Distraction is like the national pastime. Everybody's looking for something so they don't have to focus in. Taking care of your mental health, whether it's, and it's not the same as talking to a good friend. It's not the same as being online and chatting with people. Taking some time for yourself, if you can do it, and there's a lot of resources, and finding a decent therapist, it's a good, and especially if you're starting to have some health concerns, and they're starting to say things to you like, well, we can't find a cause, or it's fibromyalgia. If it's fibromyalgia, run, don't walk to a therapist, let me tell you, because to me, in my estimation, fibromyalgia is the physical manifestation of trauma.
Research bears that out.
Yep. Exactly. So, except for that one neurologist who claimed he didn't believe in fibromyalgia.
Well,
it's a religion.
I'm just thinking that, you know, people now being able to get their stories more out, you know, people like you being willing to tell your story. And I think hopefully we'll just become a kinder, gentler people.
Yeah.
And be a little more understanding when someone comes forward with that kind of stuff. In the time we have remaining, what would you want to say to women who find themselves maybe feeling that they've got something going on and they're not getting the good medical advice that they need, or they don't feel like it's been benefiting them before they get in such dire straits as you did?
Right.
It's hard.
Like I said, getting a good therapist is a great place to start, especially if they can kind of be an advocate for you. Because one of the worst parts is when you start going down this rabbit hole of this kind of an event like I went through, you start to feel crazy. You will have many times where you're thinking, is this me? Is this? So, yeah, you know, somebody who's a sounding board for what you're going through, somebody to reassure you or even say, this isn't right. Now, and I know for some people that's a huge step. And I'm not saying this lightly, I'll find a therapist. I know it's a lot, and even if you're afraid, even if you sense something, just give it a try. And when therapy is good, it's really good. Yeah. And it can suck, just like anything. But when it's good, and you learn that sort of external processing and having an advocate, man, because especially if you're in a giantly dysfunctional family, you don't have any advocates. I had no advocates, that I had to be my own, you know, and I was not in very good shape to be my own advocate. If I'd had, you can play if all over the place. That's not so. But yeah, I would definitely say finding someone, a coach even, could be good if you know, something like that. Someone who's an advocate for you.
Yeah.
That's really important. And then if someone offers you a quick fix, I would generally run. Anybody who's telling you, if you just come to this class, if you eat this food, if you drink this juice, if you do anything, I can fix everything, whether it's a physical or emotional problem, be very leery of that.
That's excellent advice.
Yeah. It's hard, hard work. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not going to say this was a cakewalk for 5 years. It was really hard. And there were plenty of times where it was like, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know why I'm doing this. Life makes no sense. My mind won't make sense. When you start cracking open a brain that's kept so much held in so hard, it's an experience. It's hard work, but it's a choice. You can choose to go out of this life messed up, depending on something to get you through, whether it's booze, food, drugs, sex, whatever. You can distract and distract and distract. But that miserable core will always be there screaming at you that you're living a lie. And not everybody's going to have a lie that was as intense or as ingrained or as buried as mine and everything. So don't be afraid either. I mean, don't feel like you're going to go to therapy and all of this. Honestly, what I dealt with and everything, it's not a giant surprise. It kind of all made sense. But my brain was working so hard. And then I guess, then your beautiful brain is freed up from all this you've been trying to not pay attention to. And you can start doing things and you can start experiencing life without fear. I never thought that was possible. There's so many things I never thought were possible. Crazy things I believed and did. There really is another side to this. And however much time I have left, whatever it is, I at least feel like I'm authentically myself now. I'm who I am. I'm making my own decisions. I'm slowing way down in therapy now after 5 years. It was a great thing to start making, you know, being on my own and not bouncing everything I did off someone else. that's been a real growth right there. And it is.
Oh, yeah.
And I think a lot of people worry about that. They'll be like, oh, I'll never, you know, they'll want me to go forever. And it's like, no, a good therapist won't. I mean, you'll know because, and that's, like I said, that's that great transference. It's like, so you had this really dysfunctional upbringing. Now you get to go through where you transfer those feelings onto another person. And then you're the healthy one who says, I'm ready to do this on my own. And I've got the skills now. And that's flipping awesome.
Yeah, it is. And you know, I didn't go through quite what you went through, but it's taken me probably a good 7 years to really, like you said, have some brain space and to feel fearless and all that. So it is, you know, I think if you take nothing else away from this conversation is it is a lot of work, and you have got to make that decision that you're going to.
Yeah. It's a journey of life. It's like, are you going to take the quick road and just be so focused on the little bit of street ahead of you trying to survive just to get to it? Are you going to get on the tough road that has the much better views, that has much more to it? And it's a decision. And I respect anybody who chooses either one. It's your choice. I mean,
absolutely.
If you decide you want to just, you know, have a bottle of wine to fall asleep every night, and that's how you're going to live out your life, hey, that's your choice, and that's fine. But I have found there are alternatives, and there is another side to it. There is the other side, even when, you know, people can say to me, I don't believe you. I'm like, I've been there.
Well, you know, we're gonna wrap up this conversation, but the one thing I want to say is that being on that journey, it is scary to get on that train and make that journey. But once you get to the other side, my thought was, that wasn't so bad. What was I so afraid of? You know what I'm saying?
It's because I think I realized everything that I was afraid of was really something once that I just needed to deal with. And now life is not so scary. That's exactly what you get rid of is, for me anyway, it was that overriding fear that was with me all the time. And now it's like, oh, okay. Well, I'm present in this moment. I have this moment. And I never, honestly, there are many, many times I never thought I'd say this and mean it. So I get it. I get it if you're in there. I get it if you haven't even started. But you're exactly right.
Well, thank you so much, Anne. And all the references and resources and books that Anne's talked about will just plop down in the show notes and how to find you and all that good stuff. So,
yeah. I'm going to add one more thing. If you feel like you have been misdiagnosed, some of the information I have is about that. Read these articles and get mad. And that's okay. These articles will, a lot of these articles will make you mad when you read them because of why this happens and it happens. But that's definitely a piece of advice I would give. And I don't know if you want to edit this in or something, whatever, take this out. But I just would, if you feel you've been misdiagnosed, that's what some of these resources are about. And I definitely would read them. And just because someone in the psychiatric world, there's a lot of guessing and there's a lot of things that are wrong. And these articles will illustrate that well. So,
awesome. No, I think it's a great resource because I've been misdiagnosed physically myself.
Yes.
And I've had to really advocate for my doctor to take a harder look at, I know my body, I've lived in it for 57 years. I know it's not right.
I've had so many people say exactly that to me. I remember when I was a massage therapist and people would say that. They'd go to the doctor and they'd be like, I know my body. And you do. That is huge. You know your body. You know when something's not right. Trust your gut. So,
okay. Well, I will have to have you back on as a guest and we can just talk about so many things. So thank you, Anne. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thank you so much.
Thank you for joining Shelley today on Women Over 50, a Life Redesign podcast. Be sure to join the ever-growing community of like-minded women on Facebook. That's the Women Over 50, a Life Redesigned Facebook group. Join today.